read the scriptures about Galilee, and I was asked to read one of them and make a comment on them, and that was a very interesting experience, of course, and this I'm sure is going to be just as interesting in its own way. Delight to be here, and the Lord has dropped the rain for a moment or two, a little while, and I'm sure we're going to enjoy it. I want to read again to you some verses from John 17, if you have your Bible, if you would like to turn to these verses, and we'll speak for a little while about the verses subsequent to the ones we read. In the first five verses that we've already read, and we have considered the Lord's prayer for himself. And we notice two things that he prayed. First of all, he says, Father, glorify, allow me, glorify thy Son, and thy Son also will glorify thee. And that was by giving him the cross by which he would glorify the Father. And then the second petition, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And that was the glory that he was going to return to into the presence of the Father himself. Now we're coming to the second part of the great prayer of the Lord Jesus, in which he is praying on behalf of his disciples, the disciples that were there with him. And of course we can listen in as they did, and that we can hear his desires on behalf of us as well. So we'll read a few verses from verse 6 to verse 10. The Lord Jesus says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things, whatsoever thou hast given me, are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of this passage, and perhaps we could bow our heads and ask for his guidance and help as we are here today. Our Father, we do thank thee for journeying mercies thus far on our trip. We thank thee for this opportunity to sail on this beautiful lake with its beautiful surroundings. And we thank thee for thy word that we've read together. We do ask that as we meditate upon it, that thou wilt guide and direct our thoughts, and grant that each one of us may come to know more of thyself and more of the Lord Jesus as we study this portion together. We ask thy blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I've indicated to many of you that I was born in India, and at the age of 5 I was brought to Scotland to live with my grandfather, my father's father, and his two sisters, my aunts. And from the age of 5 for about 16 years until I became an intern in a hospital and had to leave home, I was brought up in that home in Scotland. And many memories come from those days. I suppose all of us have memories from the days when we were small children until we became adults, and I have many memories. One of the memories that comes to me on many occasions, as a matter of fact, most Sunday mornings, before we went to the Lord's Supper, my grandfather used to, after finishing the breakfast, around the breakfast table, take out his Bible, and he would read for us some scripture portion. Sometimes we sang together, and then he would pray. And on that occasion, he didn't choose any scripture portion. He didn't just go through the Bible on Sunday mornings. He chose scripture portions that were especially appropriate as we went to the Lord's Supper. Passages about the Lord, passages about his death on the cross, Old Testament Psalms that predicted his death, Isaiah 53. And one of his favorite passages that he read to us on these Sunday mornings was John 17. And this passage became impressed in my mind as we read it week on occasions during these weekly meditations on the Word of God. And I think that's a good thing for us to adopt. Week by week, on Sunday morning, before we go to the Lord's Supper, to read the Word of God in a passage like this. Well, let's ask that what is what the Lord Jesus said in these verses. First of all, he says, I have manifested thy name under the name which thou gavest me out of the world. I have manifested thy name. You remember in our first evening we noticed this is one of a number of things that the Lord Jesus did for his Father on behalf of his own. I have manifested thy name. Now what does that mean? Thy name, the word name in the Bible, doesn't necessarily mean what we are called. It sometimes means what we are. And when it applies to God, and we read his name, it not only indicates his title, what he is called, but indicates what he is. The psalmist David in Psalm 9 and 10 says, they that know thy name shall put their trust in thee. He didn't mean those who know what God is called will trust him, but he meant those who know what God is will trust him. And this is what we find here. I have manifested thy name. In other words, the Lord Jesus manifested what God is, his nature, his character, his essential being to his disciples who were in the world. In Exodus chapter 24, we read about Moses, and we're told that the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses on Mount Sinai, and he proclaimed the name of the Lord. What was that? Well, we go on to read, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. In other words, the name of the Lord is what he is, his nature, his character. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus manifested while he was here. He manifested the nature and the character, the being of God. How did he do that? Well, I suppose he did it in a variety of ways. He did it, first of all, by the words that he spoke. Later in this chapter, we read another activity of the Lord Jesus. He said, I have declared thy name. And I suppose that's particularly in reference to the words he spoke to his disciples and to the world. He declared by his words what God is. And as we read the words of the Lord Jesus in the Gospel, we too are given a revelation of what God is. I have manifested thy name. He did it by the words he spoke. He also did it by the works he did. He said, the works which my Father has given me to do, he doeth the works. He dwelleth in me, he doeth the works, and he has given me to do them. And through these works, he manifested the name of the Father. But thirdly, and probably most importantly, the Lord Jesus manifested the name of God, his Father, by his walk and by his ways, by the way he lived in this world, by the evidence of his holiness and truth and righteousness and love and compassion and grace, he manifested the name of the Father. And surely he's an example to us in everything. The Lord Jesus should be our great example, and we too should manifest the name of the Father. And we sure too should manifest the name of the Lord. If we call ourselves Christians, we're taking the name of the Lord Jesus. A Christian is a Christ one. We're using his name, and therefore we should manifest that name in our lives day by day. We should show something of the nature and the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is another aspect of manifesting his name that we see in this chapter. Six times over, as we've noticed, the Lord Jesus spoke of his Father as Father. Father. Holy Father. Righteous Father. Over and over again in the Gospel of John, over 120 times, he has manifested the name of Father. And that was a wonderful revelation of God to his disciples and even to the world. The character of Father, so that you and I can call him not just God, but Father. And later on, just in a few days, the Lord Jesus was going to speak to his disciples, or speak to one of those who saw him after his resurrection. He said to Mary, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. Through the Gospels, he has spoken of the Father as the Father, my Father. Now he says, your Father. And he has become our Father. And he has manifested the character of God as Father. Notice what the Lord Jesus said. out of the name which thou gavest me out of the world. We've already noticed that phrase. It occurs seven times in the chapter. This is the second occurrence. And he says, out of the world. This is the second occurrence of the word world in this great chapter. 19 times it occurs. The world. The first time we noticed, you remember, the Lord Jesus said, glory by me was the glory which I had with thee before the world was. That's the world is indicating the universe that he created. Here when he says, the name which thou gavest me out of the world, that means the world of mankind, the world here on earth, those with whom we mingle day by day. And the Lord took his disciples, and he has taken us, and he has given us to the Lord Jesus out of the world of mankind. He goes on to say, thine they were, and thou gavest them me. We belong to God from eternity past. We belong to him when he chose us, and he chose us before the foundation of the world. And he says, thine they were, but now we become belonging to the Lord. Does that mean that we no longer belong to the Father, that we belong to the Son and not to the Father? Would that mean that? Because later on, just a few verses further down, we are told the Lord Jesus says, they are thine. He says, thine they were. And then he goes on to say, they are thine. In other words, now we belong to both the Father and the Son. We are his possession. And we can all say, I belong to Jesus. But we can all say, too, Jesus belongs to me. That's a wonderful truth. And it's not for the years of time alone, it's for eternity. Now let's go on to the next verse. And the next verse begins a series of evidences that distinguish those who belong to the Lord Jesus. Things that characterize the disciples of the Lord Jesus. And the first is, they have, well, it's at the end of the verse 6, they have kept thy word. They have kept thy word. How gracious of the Lord to say that about these disciples. They were failing and fragile and fallible, just as you and I are. But the Lord says, they have kept thy word. And that's what he says about us, and that's what we should be doing. Keeping his word not only in the sense of guarding it, keeping its truth, but obeying it day by day. We should be those who are characterized by keeping the word of the Lord Jesus, and it's contained in the word of God. The second thing that the Lord Jesus describes his disciples as is in the next verse. It says, they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. They have known. Again, the Lord is gracious. How little do they really know? And how little we really know, how much we are all ignorant of. But in his infinite grace, the Lord commends them to the Father. All things, that includes the things that we've thought about in this great chapter, the things that the Father has given to the Son, things like his power, his authority, his work, his words, his glory. All these have been given by the Father to the Son, and the Lord Jesus says, they have known that all things which thou hast given me are of thee. And he goes on to say, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And then there's a third identifying feature of all disciples. They have received these words. Have we received these words? Not only received them because we have the word of God in our lives, in our hands, but received them into our hearts. We should store up the word of God in our lives and in our minds and in our hearts. And that will be an evidence that we have received the word of God in our hearts and lives. They have received. And then the fourth evidence of discipleship is, they have known surely that I came out from thee. They have known that I came out from thee. Well, it took them a long time to discover that. Oh, I know Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But it was a long time before they recognized that the Lord Jesus was sent by the Father. He had said that over and over again. At the end of the last chapter, near the end of the Lord's last discourse with them, which he began in the upper room and continued through the streets of Jerusalem, we read his disciples said unto him, Lord, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. It had just dawned on him the realization that this one who had walked with for these years had come from God. It takes us a long while to think of these things too and to know them. But the Lord Jesus said, they have known surely that I came out from thee. And then the final characteristic of the disciples is they have believed that thou didst send me. They came to that realization and they believed, not merely that he came, but he came as sent by the Father. And we recognize that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then verse 9 says, I pray for them. And these wonderful words, what a glorious statement. With the cross in mind, with all its suffering and agony and anguish, the Lord Jesus said, I pray for them. I pray for these disciples. They have been so precious to him, and they were so precious. And it was the cross shadowing his pathway very closely. He said, I pray for them. And we can be sure that he's still praying. As a matter of fact, at the right hand of the Majesty on high, he's our high priest, interceding for us, praying on our behalf. And we have the consciousness day by day that not only do we pray for one another, but supremely, we have the Lord Jesus praying for us. He goes on to say, I'm not praying for the world. Why is he not praying for the world? Because the world is hostile to them. This is the third time the word world has occurred, and I believe it's clear that we have an introduction to the hostile world that's opposed to the Lord, opposed to the Father, opposed to the disciples. I pray not for the world, but he said, I pray for those who thou hast given me, for they are thine. It's possible that the Lord is speaking about the world of men, and he's praying for his own people who are the ones who are to take the message of the Lord Jesus to the world. And you and I have that responsibility. We are his, they are thine. And the Lord says, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine. In other words, we are still the Father. Every one of us that belongs to the Lord Jesus also belongs to the Father. And he says, I am glorified in there. That the next occurrence of the word glorify, we've seen it already in the chapter, and it's a remarkable thing that the Lord Jesus has indicated that he is glorified in us. And the question we should ask ourselves as we conclude our study today is he glorified in my life? Am I bringing glory to the Lord by the things I do, by the things I say, by the way I live? Can he say, I am glorified in them? And we can bring him glory as we keep our eyes fixed on him day by day, and as we are transformed into his image, and as we live like him, and as we seek to do his will and speak his words, we can bring glory to the Lord Jesus. And so he can say, as he said of his first disciples, I am glorified in them. He is the one who glorifies the Father, and we should be those who bring glory to him as we live amongst men and earth. And so we conclude our study of this great chapter, this portion of it, and we'll continue with it this evening in the will of the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for this great chapter and for the precious words of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that he truly and completely and finally and eternally glorified thee. And we pray that we may be evidence of his work in our lives, and that we too may bring glory to his name as we live today, as we are even on those boats sailing in this beautiful lake. Help us, we pray thee, by the way we talk and the way we act, to bring glory to the Lord Jesus. So we thank thee for all the blessings of this day, and we pray thy continued blessing upon us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.